It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18+. Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I can only imagine what firefighters see on a daily basis. Sometimes it feels like the job may be mundane, but you get reminded of how crazy and nerve-wracking the job must be when you see them speeding down the road to save someone's life. These stories are pretty creepy, and I think they'll freak you out. If you have one that you would like to share, whether it's a firefighter story or something entirely different, be sure to send in your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy firefighter stories. I've been a firefighter here in New York for a good decade. I've seen everything from the smallest of fires to the biggest infernos that would make you swear hell itself had opened up. Being a firefighter is an amazing thing. You get to help people, and the people you work with are your family. It can be a bit rough if you are raising a family of your own, but I've never really had that problem being the lone wolf I am relationship-wise. It isn't that I don't like the idea of having my own family. It's just that I'm pretty much married to my job, and I've never really had the time to meet anyone. At any rate, it is a boon in my life because of the dangerous nature of my work. Enough about all that, though. I'm going to share with you a story about some strange fires I dealt with a few years back. The first in the series of strange calls we got came in on Friday at 11 p.m. We got up and headed to the docks to check out a warehouse fire that had broken out. So far, so good. As things seemed relatively normal, we put the blaze out quickly upon arrival. While going over to the scene, it appeared as it was an electrical fire of some sort. Later confirmation would indeed reveal as such as well. All right, I thought, these things happen, and now it is resolved. We get back to the station and fight several other fires over the next 24 hours. These are all fairly normal occurrences as well, or so it seemed anyway. It is Saturday at 11 p.m. when we get a call about a second warehouse fire near the docks. So, I'm someone who notices odd things. For example, two nights in a row with an 11 p.m. call. Odd, but probably nothing to worry about. Still, I note this in the back of my mind. The fire is quickly contained. It is once again an electrical-related issue. That was also a bit off to me. Still, I went on about my shift. Three nights later, at exactly 11 p.m., we are called out to another fire, once again, a warehouse in the docks. At this point, I'm weirded out a little bit. We fought this fire for a good hour. We were able to subdue it, but, strangely, as we were about to pull away, the area erupted in flames again. This was strange, but we were able to subdue the fire once more, and thankfully, no harm was done. Later, the investigation revealed another electrical fire. Okay, I think to myself. Three electrical fires, all at 11 p.m. all at warehouses in the docks. If I didn't know any better, I would swear there was something going on there. A couple of days later, my buddy stops me as I come in from work, and he is leaving. He shows me something weird from some photos from the scene of the fires. There's a pattern that has emblazoned itself upon the walls of each place that was burned. It looks like a tree. It is distinct enough that you can see the design, and next to the tree there appears to be a hooded figure. I remember saying, "That's strange," but then I thought, an odd series of coincidences, maybe. My buddy seemed to agree, but he wanted to show me patterns anyway, as he knew I'm intrigued by odd things like that. I go about my shift that night, and everything is fairly normal. There aren't any huge fires in any first respond calls we got due to medical emergencies or other happenings were all resolved without any incident. The next week is the same, just your standard fires and nothing too crazy. A month later, we got a call at 11 p.m. to respond to a medical emergency. We arrive at the scene to find an older woman who's struggling to breathe. We try to calm her down and we check her out. She's just screaming, "Fire! Fire!" Eventually, after much struggle, we were able to calm her down. The woman looks at my buddy and says, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry for your loss. Please forgive me. We look at each other for a moment and reassure the lady everything is going to be just fine. We are all a little spooked at this point, but everything seems fine. And it is fine. Until 3 nights later. 11 p.m, we get a call to respond to a house fire. The address we arrive at is all too familiar. It's my buddy's house, and as we make our way through the fire, we find him, and we are able to pull his half-burned body from the fire. It is shortly after that his place erupts into even bigger flames. We fought the fire, giving it our best, and every time we were close, an explosion of some sort would happen, and we would have to fight the fire back once more. When we finally got the flames completely subdued, it was 4 a.m. My friend was in the hospital, and his family, a 7-year-old daughter, my buddy's wife, and their dog, were dead. The fire was electrical. The investigation itself didn't make much sense, though. I wish I had the words to describe my sorrow. My buddy was forced into early retirement. His burns were too great to allow him to do his job again. He was never the same after that, understandably so. I remember going to his family's funeral. It was a cold day. My buddy wouldn't speak, so I spoke on his behalf. He looked lost, but as I was about to leave, he handed me a piece of paper. I was going to take it, but he gripped me tightly and looked me in the eyes. The look in his eyes suggested that he was afraid and deeply saddened all at once. Once he let me go, I opened the paper, and during the funeral he had been sketching, the sketch was what he gave me, and when I saw it, I felt a sense of dread and cold wind pass by. It was a drawing of the image emblazoned at the other scenes of the warehouse fires. It was a tree with a dark hooded figure next to it. I asked my buddy what it meant, and uttered the only 3 words I ever heard him speak ever again. I saw it. Have you ever had a reoccurring dream? Maybe you visited the same place in a dream more than once. I'm not sure how to explain this, but I'll do my best. I work for a fire department in Chicago. I'm very prideful of my work. I've always wanted to help others growing up, and I was that kid who really admired and was impressed by those who fought fires. Granted, firefighters aren't always fighting fires. In fact, the majority of our calls are usually medical emergencies, but regardless, it's helping people and that's something I've always loved doing. Anyway, my story starts about 4 years into my job. I've had this dream of a burning building. I had this dream when I was a child. It was partly what inspired me to become a firefighter. In the dream, I'm fighting this fire. It's a massive one, and every time I fight it, there's someone in the fire. As I'm about to see who or what, I can hear a woman calling. I can hear her cries for help. Then I awake as an explosion rings out. As I said, I've had this dream several times throughout my lifetime. Strange as it sounds, I always am grateful for the dream, as partly because of it I'm here today. I awoke to a late night call in October of 2013. It wasn't anything crazy, a small apartment fire, but I indistinctly remember this feeling of foreboding. You have a feeling you couldn't shake, right? Anybody ever feel that? A feeling of impending doom that has no explanation. That is the feeling I am describing. We put the fire out quickly, and everything was fine. The tenant was a little shaken up, but their apartment would be salvaged. I went to sleep that night and had the dream again. I was in the building, the fire was raging, and I could hear a woman screaming while a figure of some kind stood in the fire. I can always remember a pull toward this figure that was usually overpowered by my want to save the life of whoever is screaming. The explosion happened, but this time, I shoot awake as it was so loud and real that I swore it was happening in my room. As it turns out, it was just another call. This time, there was a bigger fire at a utility building. As we were putting the fire out, I swear for a split second, I saw someone standing in the flames. This was followed by the sudden, overwhelming sensation of dread. We put the fire out and no one else was there. No one was even in the utility building as it was 3 in the morning. I shook this off and shortly after my shift ended, I went home. I crashed hard and was immediately hit with the same dream again. It is important to note, at this point, the dream was something that would happen every so often for so many years that now it was happening every few nights that I didn't entirely know what to make of it. But I had a job I loved and a family at home I cherished. I was quite happy with my life. I wasn't going to let that dream ruin it. The next several nights were relatively quiet. We had some small forest fires and some medical emergencies, but everyone involved in these turned out okay. Still though, through these shifts, I felt that creeping dread growing more prominent. Every night it grew stronger. This all led up to the late October night when my fears became a reality. The dread would become quite clear, and my entire view on life would be altered forever. I remember the call quite clearly. We had a rather large apartment complex that had burst into flames very suddenly. We went out and rushed into the moment, and we arrived very quickly. I remember the massive size of the building and the immersed nature of the fire itself. Rushing in head first, we got several of the tenants on the lower floors out first. We pushed through, hammering this fire with everyone we had on hand while going in and out of the building, getting everyone we could out. I remember taking climbing the ladder and going up several stories until I reached a familiar sight. There was a stairwell. Everything around me was smoke-filled, but I eventually hit a clear spot. This in itself was odd enough. What was stranger was the familiarity of it all. It was my dream. I remember seeing something in the fire before hearing a woman's distant scream. I turned my attention toward the sound of the woman, and that's when the explosion happened. I remember diving to the floor and feeling flames soar around me and all above. I stood up after realizing that I wasn't dead and I was strangely okay. I heard the woman screaming, still pushing forward. As I moved, one step at a time, carefully, the fire grew stronger. I felt something in the building with me. Something followed me. I know how crazy it sounds, and you have to understand I am a very level-headed guy. I pressed forward and continued to do my job. When I arrived at the apartment, I believed the woman was screaming. I made my way inside and headed to the bathroom. Inside, I found a woman, and at the window I was in, one of the other firefighters took the woman's girl, and we helped them both down. I went back up and checked for any sign of other life. I remember looking all over, and while I sensed something was up there, I never found an actual person. Having searched everywhere I could and every possible place that wasn't engulfed in flames, this situation became too dangerous. I headed back toward the ladder and headed out of the building for the final time. As I stepped out of the window, I heard a very distinct and disturbing yell come from behind me. It was like a mix of a shrill screaming and an inhuman growling. as to have no words to explain what I heard that night, but I quickly headed down the ladder and got out of there. It took us another 4 hours to get the fire in check. Eventually, we succeeded. Even better, as we realized later, there were no casualties. Everyone in the building had been safely evacuated and had survived the fire. Again, I can't begin to explain to you what I witnessed or what was happening that night during the fire. I can say, I've never had the dream I had my entire life, leading to that moment, ever again. It was as if, simply, something willed itself into existence. I'm not sure what happened that night, but I am convinced that the fire was not natural. I'm not sure how to put this, but I believe something otherworldly may have caused the fire. I have no idea what it could be or why it did, but I do know I'm grateful to be alive and I'm extremely grateful everyone survived that night. I work for a small firehouse in a very small town in Illinois. We don't usually have large fires or anything crazy happening here. In fact, life is very, very slow, and all that said, the story I'm about to share is very different from everyday life here. It is something I'll never forget and something I'm sure this town will never forget. I will not share the name of my town for privacy reasons. It all started on a Sunday afternoon. There was a house fire, and upon arrival, a man was standing there, naked, standing, then bowing, sitting on his legs, face to the ground before standing and repeating this. I couldn't understand what he was saying. It seemed like gibberish, like he was doing some ritual. We moved, and the man didn't resist and continued with his chanting and praying until the police arrived. We were able to stop the fire before too much damage was incurred. The naked man turning out to be the homeowner. The police tried interrogating him, but he never gave a real answer as to why he did it. Apparently, he just continued chanting and praying. I didn't recognize the man. I'd never seen him, which was strange as it was a small town. My first thought was, maybe I just moved here, but then why move some places to burn your house down? Knowing we'd probably never really know why he did what he did, I tried just to let it go and move on. I did this for as long as it took to get the next call. We got called out to an older woman in town. We'll call her Mary. Mary was a sweet lady and a God-fearing woman. She often baked cookies for law enforcement and even the rest of us first responders, be they EMS or firefighters. She was a prominent churchgoer and the sweetest soul our town has ever been graced to know. Anyway, we responded to the fire at around 2 in the morning, which was roughly 3 to 5 minutes after getting the call. It wasn't far, and we are a small town after all. We fought the fire for quite some time. Every time we had it under control, it would suddenly prove us wrong. Entering the home to see if Mary was around, I was shocked to find her crying in some unknown gibberish and smiling as the flesh from her skin was being burned off. It was something completely unexplainable. She did not appear to be in any pain, and I tried to pull her out of the house, but as we got her out of the house, she died in my arms. She was barely recognizable now, and soon after the fire was put out completely, the home was no longer salvageable, and everything was lost in the fire. We had no clue what was going on or why it happened. There was no explanation as to why Mary let herself burn alive. The next few weeks went by with no major fires or strange occurrences. The strange fires had started to fade to the back of everyone's mind until Monday morning when we got a call to put out a fire at a school in town. No children were harmed, thankfully. We got everyone, and everyone was able to be accounted for and they were fine. We were able to put the fire itself out before it took the school. All that said, the principal, a man who had taught me growing up and many of the townsfolk here, was found in his office where the fire started, hanging. There was no reason as to why this happened. No suicide note, nothing. The man had simply started a fire and then hung himself in his office. I think all of this was quite strange, but it was also unexplainable. We weren't sure why people were doing this. The first guy we didn't know, but everyone after were people who we knew our whole lives and were all very well respected. So why would they do these things? The next strange call came a few days later, but it was a medical call, not a fire call. A law enforcement officer had been found in his home bleeding profusely. He had a knife stuck in the floor next to him and was cauterizing the things he carved into his flesh with a lighter. He seemed unfazed by the wounds or the process by which he was healing them. The man was told to stop and was eventually forced to do so. When police arrived, everyone was shocked. The floors and walls were covered with his blood. Needless to say, the man is no longer in law enforcement. He is still in a psych ward until this day. Outside of that, he had several of the same things carved into his flesh. His motive? He claimed they watched him. Who they were, we'll probably never know. 5 days later, the final incident occurred. It was in the middle of a local grocery store where a woman stood naked. Police got there first and weren't called until she set fire onto herself. The woman was bleeding and had a knife through the right cheek. She had been sawing at her flesh and looked like she was in some sort of trance. This is something we were told upon arriving at the scene. One of the officers told me she had already doused herself in gasoline prior, and when the officers approached herself, she lit herself on fire. This caused a chain reaction that spread unusually quickly. By the time it was all over, the store was entirely lost. There was something off at the fire, though. It wasn't right. The blaze was too strong, and it shouldn't have gone up as quickly as it did. A day later, the first man from this strange series of occurrences disappeared from his cell. No one is sure how, but after he was gone, there were no more occurrences like this within the town. Things went back to being relatively normal, and nothing unusual has happened since then. Did this man somehow create these strange occurrences? Was there something else going on entirely? I have way too many questions about all of it, and I imagine I'll never get concrete answers to any of it. I'm a retired fire captain who used to work in Montana. Many years ago, there was an unexplainable incident that occurred near some crossroads late one night in the town I live in. It was there I witnessed something horrific. I saw a fire that burned much of the town I lived in. The fire was something unusual. It seemed like it had a mind of its own. Did it? Probably not, but there was something weird going on for sure. I responded to the scene of the fire on these crossroads. The first thing you gotta understand is, I'm not the superstitious sort at all, but this was an odd fire. It seemed to burn and spread in all four directions before forming a wide wall and spreading outward in every direction possible. If that sounds strange, I got something even stranger for you. We quickly sprang into action, fighting this fire while police and the others began helping with evacuations. The fire, though, seemed to grow the more we fought it. I'm not talking it found more fuels and grew. I mean, it was as though it was just growing on its own, and any deterrent we used against it just made it grow even larger. I've never seen a fire like this one before or since. We could temporarily impede the fire's progress, but it would grow taller and slowly advance. The heat was insane, even for a fire. We had everyone in our town, and a few from neighboring towns on top, trying to just create a containment line and fight the fire back, and yet it still progressed, even with all that help. Inside the fire, you could hear a strange calling. It was like a choir, and it was quite audible. This wasn't something that only I heard, it was something that multiple people could hear. It wasn't long after we began to hear this that we got calls that a house in town was beginning to burn. We sent some of the neighboring units out, and it was later reported that the house had just shot up in flames out of nowhere. That fire began to spread so quickly that it began to work its way back toward the other fire until it all just joined together. At first, we were looking at all the massive walls of fire, and the more it grew, the louder that choir would grow. I'd like to say it was some auditory hallucination caused by the heat itself, but it was just so clear that I can't rightfully claim that. At this point, we'd evacuated the town completely, so we knew at least no one would be in danger. We chased the fire down into town and tried our best to contain it. Nothing we were doing was helping, though, and before we knew it, half the town was already up in flames. This is where things take a deeply strange turn. The fire itself slowly crept its way forward, until it was at the local church. It was here it seemed to shoot toward the building, which immediately burst into flames before finally quickly burning to the ground. After this, it began to rain. As it rained, the flames began to slowly fade until they were gone. When we finally assessed the damage in the town, the only damage was smoke-related in most places. Literally, all buildings, even the ones engulfed by this fire, were standing and seemed to be okay. The church was the only building that burned to the ground. How do you rightfully explain that insanity? I have never seen anything like this in my life or career before or since. Even talking about it now, I realize how completely crazy I sound. But it wouldn't have been... If you would have been there, well, you would understand. The only thing stranger than the fire was the choir within it. Why would a fire sing so audibly? Was there something inside the fire? Could there have been anything controlling this monstrosity? I'm not sure. It still doesn't make any sense to me at all. I'm sorry if this story is short, but I thought I'd explain what little I could understand of it all. I'm not much of a churchgoer myself, but I have to question why is it the church was the only thing that burned. Anyway, that's my story. Make of it what you will. Has anyone else out there experienced a fire like this? I'd love to hear your thoughts. My story isn't strange. No, it's a testament to how crazy fires can be. It's a testament to how careful people need to be. For privacy reasons, I'm not stating my name or town. That out of the way, let me tell you how I watched my small town burn to the ground completely. It started rather simply. You see, someone was mowing their lawn on a particularly hot summer day. Then they had been told not to do so due to the heat and the dryness of the land. The fire sparked and quickly took the man and his property out of existence. A lot of people underestimate how easy it is to start a fire and how quickly it can spread. We got the call a short while after. By the time we arrived, this fire had spread quickly across this man's land. The land was several hundred acres, and when we arrived, over half of it was already in flames. It was heading toward the town itself at a quick rate. We, of course, hopped into go mode in terms of evacuations and such, and by the time we got everybody out of town, the fire was already in the side of the town itself and had engulfed a gas station. You can imagine what happened next. There was an explosion that caused the fire to expand extremely quickly. We spent the next several hours fighting this thing and getting some level of containment on it. It was around that time we noticed the wind shifting and becoming much stronger. This caused us to have the pushback of the fire begun growing again. Sadly, in the area I lived back then, there was a lot of land and a lot of wind. If a fire broke out, it was quite easy for it to get out of hand real quick. By the time night had fallen, we were still battling this thing and it made its way through town, burning everything in sight. We continued this fight, and by the next morning, we had help from other services in the surrounding area. We fought long and hard to contain this thing, but when night fell once more, it was quite clear we had lost the town. Over the next few days, we continued fighting back against the blaze, and before long, it was in danger of burning another town. On the dawn of the seventh day, the wind had died down, and we had some rain coming through. This helped to slow the fire down by quite a bit and was pretty much a miracle from God, seeing as the rain wasn't forecast at all during that time, and summer was always known for heat. The next day we got containment and more rain. The rain lasted another 3 days after that, and when all was said and done, thousands of acres of land had burned to the ground, including homes. There were no fatalities, so we were able to evacuate those in the path of this fire, and I thank God every day for the rain. That said, I also curse him for letting us lose the town. Everyone who lived in the town was displaced. If you could have seen the devastation the fire wrought, you'd be shocked. This goes tenfold since we were a small town. As the years went on, we were able to rebuild and the town is alive and thriving once again. We will never forget the fire or the destruction it wrought upon us. It is still shocking to me how one day your town can be there, the next it can suddenly not exist. All that said, it is a testament to our strength as humans that we were able to rebuild and are stronger than ever today. You can learn a lot from the successful things that happen in your life, but you'll never learn more than in the most trying times of your life. That's where you learn who you and your fellow man and woman truly are. That's when you are forced to realize how hopeless you are and helpless you are, and ultimately. I still have nightmares about the fire, and I still feel a great deal of guilt for not having saved my town the first time. I've gone to therapy since, and life is much better today, but I'm not sure I'll ever truly stop blaming myself. We did all we could, and those who live here always tell us this, but inside, I always think, was there a way to save this place the first time? So please, always be wary of what you are doing, especially if you live in drier areas. Always be careful, and in the case of an evacuation, always be prepared to leave in an instant. Thank you for listening to my story. Thanks for listening to these creepy firefighter stories. If you were even remotely planning on being a firefighter before this video, you might just have changed your mind after these five creepy stories, and I wouldn't blame you. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes, and that helps me out a ton. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a firefighter story or something completely different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and it would be my pleasure. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, I do have Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much every other major podcasting website you can find. You can download them and bring them wherever you want. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.